Brass Stacks, just gone 4 minutes after noon, and we are back. I'm just receiving word that there's another stabbing in the school. The teachers just messaged me that just 15 minutes ago, but don't worry about it. It was always like that, right, Lisa? It was always like that. Don't worry about it. These things were happening very long. It's just the social media. As someone was telling me here on the WhatsApp, Corey, these things have been going on for a while. It's just the social media is making it more noticeable, and I disagree. But anyhow, Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
My first day in primary school. Mm-hmm. First day, well, not in, I was in private school, but my first day in public primary school when I was about 9 years old. A rock fly past, hit him in the hole, hit him in the wall, and left a hole. I mean, serious, I good thing out the way. And I look back, what the hell happened there? You know what I say, man, we don't stop till we see blood. Two people were fighting. We don't stop till we see blood.
Nice.
And if I had a we call it a cell phone camera, we call these things, no. Man, we'll put that up on Facebook, long time. Huh? You think that people are only having sex in bathrooms 4 years ago, 5 years ago? This co-education thing, anyhow, that's another matter altogether. Truth be told, good afternoon, people. I'm very sorry. My manners, as usual. I figure, well, if you got something in your mind, you talk about it, but then you deal with the genial things, geniality things. You guys are good? Everybody happy there?
I'm good. Okay, I didn't know it was a question at first, Corey.
That was Lisa and the other gentleman there.
We good.
You know, like riding horses and stuff. I tried riding a horse, almost fall down, but I figure you got insurance. But that's fine. Look, here's the thing.
You gotta come and ride my horses, man. I'm falling. I'm well trained.
Why
you never come up my side? I want you to come up my side.
They put me on a small horse with a bony back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you almost fall off, man. The poor horse, he was glad to get off. The horse tell me thanks very much, man. He's too big for me.
You went for equine therapy or you just went to...
Well, you might have to go with my friend.
That was a dream he had, man.
Man, no.
Anyhow.
I go in back. It's a nice thing.
Welcome to Down the Brass Stacks. Okay, we help you.
And if I had fallen off, let me tell you, a toe break and they coming after you. But that's okay. Fine. Here's the thing. Rihanna became a star. It was a very simple matter. All that was required was a knowledge that they had somebody called Rihanna Fenty.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had the most influential person in the United States in the industry happened to be married to Beijing. That he's come to Barbados regularly. Put the two together, start them. Right? A very simple thing. That didn't require no $1 million minister or permanent secretaries. I mean, it's about $5 million a year to keep these two ministries, National Culture Foundation and the Ministry of Culture. Let's pay the executive staff $5 million every 5 years to keep them happy and going home. Rihanna Fenty, was this a matter of taking the name from here and carrying it across there? And the rest is history. A couple days ago, a man jumped onto an airplane. It wasn't a ministry thing. It wasn't a tourism thing. It had nobody involved in culture. Jumped up on the airplane and went up to a competition in the United Kingdom called The Voice. A Beijing.
Well, yeah, I saw last pocket? Night. Pretty good. Very good.
I went there. I stopped here in Barbados. I hear Tom Jones say, Barbados? You are from Barbados?
Mm-hmm. I've been to Barbados. Yes.
You mentioned Barbados 3 times. Yes. It is my favorite place in the whole world. Yeah. Another woman, I don't know who she is, says, Barbados, where is? Another gentleman says, I went to Barbados. My mom gets
She didn't say where it is because she's been here.
Mm-hmm. She's been here too. All these people mentioned Barbados about 50 times. One man decided to get up on the airplane and get
crowd,
there.
The whole crowd clap at the word Barbados.
You hear, you see the thing?
Yep.
ITV. Mileage that the Barbados government could never, ever pay for. Now, this ain't had nothing to do with the minister of culture, who now get a gold star of merit for something that was done. This ain't had nothing to do with the permanent secretary, Miss Blackman, and none of them there. Or nobody for the national culture. This is one man. Now, I'm just saying to you, that, to me, that man's a star. Because he got the appeal. You look at somebody, yeah, they can sing. All mm-hmm. people can sing. A lot of people can sing.
He's very personable.
Few people have stardom involved. This man got stardom in his blood. You can tell it. I've never heard of him before. I'm sorry. I wish he could have said he come to Richard Stowe. Chances are he probably did come to Richard Stowe. But he is a star. And there's no way he could possibly be that way inclined with the help of the Ministry of Culture and National Culture Foundation. Again, I don't mind them drawing salaries. I do not mind them drawing salaries. But when you're going to be putting on big affairs that involve private sector involvement and all the people making millions of dollars and the artists don't make a red cent, I have a problem with that. If they go to work every morning and just draw a salary, that's cool. Because as far as I'm concerned, we are doing our national good. We are the excuse that they draw a salary and it's good to be alive knowing that they can use us as an excuse to go in the morning and get a little something done on their own behalf, not my behalf, on their own behalf, and draw a salary.
But whereas on this specific case, I may not be able to agree with you, because I don't even know if the guy went in the Ministry of Culture or anything. I don't know.
He did not go to the Ministry of Culture.
But you know, if they give $50 to put with the ticket money, you know. I ain't saying that it did, but I'm saying we don't know. But I'm saying generally, I think that we, even when I look through the various ministries and divisions and so on, I don't think they have that scope or even confidence in the brand Barbados. I don't feel it.
But the difficulty.
I don't feel it.
If it takes, it was such a simple thing to make Rihanna a star. It was not a big problem. If you have the right approach, not the right, no, you need the right vision first.
But let me ask you this question.
You know, me and Lisa don't talk, because Lisa is private sector. She belongs to the service industries and she has absolutely no faith in product-oriented people. That is fine. But we can't talk. We can't have a conversation. I just say that about Lisa. She
you mean Lisa that's here?
It's very true. Yeah, that Lisa. I can say this true.
Lisa got my, she asked, I can ask you this one. Why do you think that Riri became a star can be easily duplicated? Why Jamaica has never produced another Bob Marley yet? So the person is saying it's not that easy to reproduce a Riri.
Listen, Jamaica has produced Sean Paul. The guy that got locked up last year. Man, they get stars every... Jamaica has an engine. Mm. An industrial, cultural industrial engine. An athletic industrial... Usain Bolt is not even the product of the United States, as you would expect. Usain Bolt is a product of Jamaica. And so Fraser Price and a whole host of other Hemmings and a whole, going back maybe 20, 30 years, they have developed that industry over time. The Jamaican industrial cultural engine was there since the 1960s with my boy Lollipop and all these people coming forward. We have a National Cultural Foundation. We have a cultural industry, cultural whatever they call themselves, and they are not even on the first square with respect to industrial development with export-oriented agenda because they don't know about it. They don't have any understanding of the fact that Jamaica is only 2 million people, but they can't sell their music just by selling their 2 million people. They got to export. You think these people know anything about exporting about here? They do not. They never did. They're not even connected in any way with the foreign ministry, who probably themselves don't even know anything about exporting. And here's a guy who did the simplest thing in the world. He jumped on a plane. He did what is called, this is what you call a trade fair. He did his own trade fair. He jumped on an airplane, he pulled your pocket, went out there and had his own trade fair. I mean, if he had got up there and said, you know something, I am the result of a competition that was held in Barbados that was put under the regis or aegis of the Cultural Foundation, and I won the competition, and this is my reward to come. I would have been so proud of these people over here. I would have been so proud that said, this is a product of the Barbados industrial activity or approach towards cultural industries. But no, he didn't say that. He said, I pulled my pocket, and I came here. And the crowd stood up and they clapped. This man is a hero right now, I'm telling you. Because of that effort alone, you can bet them guys are going to be signing him. Because he showed initiative. Mm-hmm. The kind of initiative that should be governmental, that should be at an institutional level. But as long as we have the leases and stuff deciding determining policies in Barbados, it ain't going to happen. They're all about service industries. That is the way forward. It is not the way forward. As long as these leases, I keep calling her name because
what wrong? I know. Ask you what wrong with you and this Lisa thing?
No, because she's
you a hot Lisa or what?
She got text and flat. As long as they're convinced that service industries are separate from product enterprises and stuff, and they're the only way to move things, we can get no further.
Lisa, you promoting you? I know you're Minister of Culture now. With congrats. We got to talk after you program. I didn't recognize she was the Director of Culture or Minister of Culture. So I know, learning here for the first time.
No, she's not Director of Culture, but she comes from the same mindset, the same environment that services are where we is all happening, and that's the only thing that can happen in Barbados. And the rest should be at the complete ignoring. Of whatever else is there. No
Corey,
farming,
I
no manufacturing,
I bet she probably agrees that we need to do more just like you. But anyway, I want to read this very interesting WhatsApp here. So thank you, caller. This one says, Mr. Moderator, please don't disclose my identity. I don't have your identity. Anyhow, I am a retired teacher and I am extremely joyous that I don't have to be in those present classrooms. It was horrendous. Most of the present students are not interested in what is being taught within the four walls daily. What happens before 9 a.m., during lunchtime, and 3 p.m. is their priority. As a teacher, I was verbally abused by students who were angry at me for having my students inside and teaching them. They referred to them as prisoners, them foolish idiots, being frightened for she. They even urged them to walk out a day on occasions. When these urgings fail, they bang on the windows, slam the door, and even throw objects into the room and refer to me in insulting and derogatory terms. I could go on with a myriad of experiences, but it would take forever. Every day, I feel only sympathy and empathy for my colleagues who are carrying on the fight. I wish them well and hope they remain safe. Okay, then. Okay, then. Brass Stats, good afternoon. Whoa.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I'm,
good afternoon, sir.
Now, I want to take up Lisa on something she said. Mm-hmm. Now, I learned in 1974 at the Barbados Community College in a zoology class, you are the product of your environment. I'm so glad that you challenged that. And if I may extend, I would like a lot more females to challenge. Males have a history of challenging. It's about time that females follow suit. I'm glad that you challenge. I am not a product of my environment. But I will not tell you that in my 60 plus years, I have not seen many who are products of the environment. If I was listening to the email, it's an email you just read, or Corey just
probably
read?
Probably a WhatsApp or email.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just the same. And I'd like to ask this question. Don't you think that those students are products of the environment?
As I said, in conjunction with refuting that ideology.
I get your spin on it.
I would say that it has to do as well with some of the choices you make, some of the opportunities you have, etc. And yeah, all of those things coalesce together to help you to become the person you are. So let's say, for example, we had two persons who come from the same environment, went to the same school, have, you know, probably, let's use two children, household. Same household.
You can narrate
same,
the household.
Same experiences, yes. Yeah. The choices that they make then impact on the person they become. Sometimes the opportunities that they have are not the same. You know, oftentimes we say, but they come from the same parents, they have the same opportunities. But the child, people parent differently at different stages of their lives. The first child sometimes gets far more attention than the last child. And that last child may be searching, looking for, you know, a little bit more love. The mother then becomes busy, or the father then takes on a different job. And that same child that we compare, you know, one sister versus a brother, so then we compare them, they didn't get the same training, you know. They didn't get the same exposure. They didn't get the same love. And we sometimes are so puzzled when we look on, not knowing that the same variables did not obtain with that child's rearing. So that's just an observation.
And the variable starts with genetics, because what breaks one child may very well push another child.
That's right.
Then there are all the factors that you have mentioned. So I am not going against what you said, because I started by telling you I know
you're not, but I was also adding to you that beyond the choices, there are some other things, that the opportunities and the exposure, etc.
But you see, some of the choices that are made may be very well as a result of the same environment. There are those who choose to make choices outside of the environment, but the choices that some make may be very well be as a result of the environment that they're exposed to.
Have you ever heard in the wrong place at the wrong time?
I heard, I like to say, at the wrong place. I'm not sure about the wrong time. But I know it very well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I just thought of that because sometimes people can have a series of unfortunate incidents. Mm-hmm. And we can judge them based on the outcomes. And oftentimes some people can be a little unfortunate. Just a little unfortunate.
I can help you along with that one, and I'll tell you this. Sometimes there are many factors. You mentioned many, and there are still more factors where you may grow up in a particular environment, and that environment may fashion you some. But then again, as you pointed out, you make choices outside of that environment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes,
now,
yes.
I was at a secondary school. I would not call the name of the school because that would not be in order to call the name of the school. But a guidance counselor said to me, I am guidance counselor at this school. I'm going to tell you something in confidence. This is almost 25 years ago, you know, not
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The guidance counselor said to me, if I were a parent, I would not send my child to this school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I questioned, mm-hmm. she's...
And this is a public school?
Yes, one of our schools, one of our public schools.
But the guidance counselor must know that the Ministry of Education is the one who chooses the school for the child based on how the child does at the common entrance.
But listen, I want to touch on that. Before I'm cut short, let me get to that. The guidance counselor said to me, I am saying this because when the child is involved in something and you call the parent and you see how the parent behaves, then you understand why the child would be in this misdemeanor. The parent behaved worse than the child.
So she's saying then that the whole population of children, you know, their parents are like that, and therefore other parents should not send their children there?
I think what she's talking about is the environment at the school and possibly the ethos of the school.
Mm.
But she is saying that the parents behave in a way that you couldn't, and as you said earlier, sometimes that is not always true, but the parents behave in a way that when you see how the parents behave, they behave worse than the children. So
yeah,
you
that happens. I saw a WhatsApp earlier. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me open. But I saw a WhatsApp earlier where a person who is, he's listening from UK, and he said that he's been to Barbados about 3 or 4 times within the last 2 years, and he was visiting a school, and he saw the behavior of some parents, and he was shocked. The parents were there, mm-hmm. you know, making some pretty loud mouthings, using some really obscene language. And he was very surprised that the parent was so easy in expressing themselves, and the children were right there, and there was nobody telling the parent to, you know, tone it down, slow down, stop, or, you know, be quiet or anything like that. And he was appalled at the behavior of the parents. And there are an enormous number, large number of parents out there who set no good examples, whether young or old, whether cursing or whether white and blue collar crime, any kind of crime. We have a lot of parents out there who set some poor examples oftentimes, and the children are then forced to make some hard decisions. Is this what I want? Some children are too soft to veer away from the behavior that they see. And then there's some children who are stronger. But thanks for your contribution, caller.
Thanks.
This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Corey, maybe you should try.
Yeah. Brastas, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, Corey?
three times is a charm. Brother right. Nasser.
Yeah, and also let me say good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir.
Now, Corey, yesterday, not you, Isha. So I said a little unfortunate thing happened yesterday. And that may be one reason why I called you today.
Mm. Say, wait, repeat that. I was listening to my co-moderator.
Sorry. A little unfortunate thing happened yesterday. I made a few pointers or statements which the panel started to discuss at a very high level. And then, you know, I had no chance to follow
right.
the statement.
Our apologies for that. That was a mistake on our
part. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm not blaming nobody, but this is what I'm saying. If the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was talking to this station,
mm-hmm.
he will never be heard because he do not respond until whoever is speaking finish their statement completely. So I know that this is a different thing and you all have to cut in for guidance and support for the interest of the public. But before we go any further, Corey, I want to say this. Did you hear the Prime Minister statement this morning about if it's in unconstitutional.
I heard it. I heard it live.
I heard it too.
I heard it on Facebook.
I didn't get the whole thing.
I want to say this because this government, headed by the Prime Minister Fernandez Trump, this DIP government, is a cloud of darkness over this country. And I hope that soon God will remove it and let light again shine on Barbados. Do you understand that statement, saying? Well, if the police come in my area, I know I like the police, you know, I defend the police to the hilt. But if the police come in my area and cordon off over here and they get angry or somebody get angry and the body get hurt or killed, you go to the court to find if it was constitutional. You think a leader of a country should be making that kind of statement, Mr. Corey?
You see, hello? I'm here. You can hear me?
Yeah, right. Clear, man.
You see no merit in what he is saying?
No, because it's a dangerous thing. If it, remember.
But no, I get what he's saying. I totally agree with him, but I get what he's saying. An individual cannot determine if something is unconstitutional. That has to be done by the court. No, even in the case where there's something that is blatantly unconstitutional, there are certain things that require that 2/3 majority. Right? Constitutional matters, right?
I know.
Suppose they were to infringe that blatantly. Don't you know that it is a court that would have to determine that it is unconstitutional? So he states the obvious, you know.
You would be dead.
Yeah, but he states the obvious most of the time. Temporary.
You or I would be dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I believe that the Bar Association, I remember, at the Bar Association, and they got a lot of lawyers in the Bar Association, I only got the name. But I am telling every bar association and their opinion say this thing is unconstitutional. I get along with that. You know why? Some of the brightest brains in law will have to be members of the bar association. And none of those leading people in bar association will come out and allow the president to go and make statements like that unless there's some kind of facts about it.
But you would remember though that the Prime Minister is a lawyer too. You see, when it gets all this politics, then you know what you do? Either depend on the judiciary or depend on the court to make a judgment on that. Even if they do something unconstitutional, I, a non-lawyer, can see it as blatant. I still depend on the court to tell me that it's unconstitutional. And I believe that will happen in this case, just like with the fingerprinting thing. The court had to step in and say unconstitutional because they were saying that it was constitutional too, you know. The Attorney General is a lawyer. The acting attorney general is a lawyer. The minister of youth is a lawyer. The prime minister is a lawyer. I could go down the line. But it still depends on the court to tell me. It's just time for, you can hear the music, it's time for the latest from the Starcom Network News. More of your calls when we come back. Well, welcome back to
Down to Brass Tacks.
Let's get the messages and then to the lines as we bring this program home and put this program to bed. This one says, I have a question that I want to raise on Brass Tacks. I'm deeply concerned about the police entering social events armed with shotguns and M16s. I want to know if there is a logic behind it and isn't it a very dangerous practice? Is that something they're trained to deal with and... You don't have to worry if they're armed, unarmed, the safety on, safety off. But I could understand a citizen concern seeing that level of weaponry among crowds and so on. Some I just want to get to here that had me. Okay, this one says, good afternoon. Am I losing my mind or am I in an alternate universe where the Minister of Finance is congratulating himself for doing less of what he should not have been doing in the first place, printing money? So if the kids at these schools tell the teacher, listen, we are cursing, stealing, and fighting less last term than we are this term, should they get awards of excellence? Yeah, good question. This one says, hello, moderators. I am listening to the discussion about our youth, but I need to mention the impact of sexual abuse on some of our young people. They lose their sense of self-worth and self-esteem and get confused about authority, having been overpowered and intimidated by adults. I know it well because I lived through it. And my school life and attitude suffered for a while until a teacher intervened and set me on a better path. Very, very interesting stuff. Don't about stats. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lane and guests. And the other moderator, sorry, Ms. Gill. Gill, Holtie, again, you're absolutely correct. If when you were 13 to have social media, you would know that psychologists show that even a twin, a twin coming from the same home can go in different directions altogether, opposite direction. Anyway, we speak about that another time. Now, Mr. Lane, all this big talk, all this long talk about politicians and lawyers, there was something said on a global broadcast not long ago that politicians are lawyers who are idle.
Rastas, good afternoon. You got the producers reprimand. Rastas, good afternoon.
Mr. Corey.
Yes, please.
Long time no hear.
Wait, yeah, this is my long lost friend.
Yes, sir. I'm coming up for a horse right soon.
Man, come on down, man. I can put you on a good horse.
I mean a fast horse, not a good horse.
A war horse. So look, see if the Rastas family. Arthur, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad, sir. Mr. Corey, I want to put a question to your guest there, Miss. Because I don't
think. She's a moderator.
The moderator, I don't think she's getting enough attention, so I got a question for her. But before I get to that, Mr. Corey, this situation with the children. Mr. Corey, if you have a woodwork problem at your house, you call a carpenter. If you have a masonry problem, you call a mason. You don't call an electrician to do plumbing. Mm-hmm. My point is that the children in our schools are sadly lacking in moral and spiritual development. The only thing that separates us from the sheep, the goat, and the banana tree is that we have a spiritual persona. We have a spiritual being which somebody calls a soul. And I am saying that unless these children get nourishment and mentorship in the moral and spiritual uplifting of their development, they're going to continue to do foolishness because they don't know any alternative. We have people here called the clergy. Many of them have been trained for years to deal with social issues like these. Everybody wants more policemen, a higher fence, more security guards, more counselors. Nobody is calling on the BXC to have their clergy make an input to this whole thing. And I wonder why, because that is where the problem is. They're not getting that mentorship. But when he was in Ontario, Mr. Corey, I've been in court 10 years, and while he was there, I watched the systematic dismantling of religion in schools. First, to begin with, Ontario is essentially a Protestant church. They have a lot of Protestant churches in Ontario, not many Catholic churches. And at one stage, they started to protest because they used to have a nativity scene around Christmas time at some of the schools. And some of the people who were not Christian protested, so they removed the nativity scenes. Then the teachers could not say anything about the Bible in school or try to teach the Lord's Prayer. That was removed. And the last thing they did was that teachers could not wear any kind of symbol or emblem of Christianity. For instance, you couldn't go to school with a chain that had a crucifix on it. That was a big thing. They removed everything, Mr. Corey. And then next thing you know, the children started bringing guns into school. And if you check the history of North America, you will see that they've had over 25 gun crimes in the schools. So these children down here might have knives now. I don't know if they're going to have later on. I hope not. But the children in Ontario were using guns to shoot their colleagues, to shoot the teachers, and go on next door and shoot. And I'm just using that as a warning that we have to get the correct tools to fit the problem. And the Ministry of Education is skirting around this issue all the time. I know the benefit of having a priest come into my school.
I hope they listen to you, though. That's the truth. Because I find that the issue is really, you know, listening to the voices of wisdom that come here on Brastats and many other places in the society. I want to read this one quick. This one came in earlier just on a question that was asked to bring some clarity, and I had some time to check it during the break. It says, Corey, when Parliament is dissolved, the MPs are no longer in the role, so their payment ceases. Only the members of the executive, the cabinet, remain in caretaker roles until a new government is elected and the Prime Minister and Attorney General are sworn in. So we just want to make sure we clarify that. Brastats, good afternoon.
I think that was actually in the article written by Mr. Aline over the weekend.
Right, in terms of cabinet staying intact.
Yeah, yes. He was speaking specifically to the ministers, whereas the question from the caller earlier today was about the MPs, the sitting MPs. So theirs come to an end then at the dissolving of the
Parliament. No money.
Okay. No.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Brastats. Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, y'all cut me off again. It was there just talking to Miss Lisa.
Sorry, we that's not deliberate.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go quickly. Time's yeah. short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miss Cummins, is it?
No, Miss Lisa Gale.
Miss Lisa Gale, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Again, you're remarried again. I don't know if you're gonna get married again, but
no.
Miss Lisa. Mm-hmm. Now we have everybody has a problem with the foreign exchange account. Mm-hmm. Now you are, I believe, an accountant or a professional in some sense. Now we look at the foreign exchange account and we ask, how did it get here? Mm-hmm. My question at this point in time, I'm going to ask some questions because I don't want to make statements. Do we know how much profits are exported by the commercial banks every year because they're foreign banks?
So when they make profits, repatriated.
Yeah. When they make profits, they're going to repatriate some in foreign exchange. Do we know? Do we have a record of how much they repatriate? Do we have a record of the amount of foreign exchange that is repatriated by the insurance companies? Because remember, these things are no longer Beijing owned. Do we have a record of how much profits is that repatriated by the retail sector, Massey, MQI, and these kind of people? Do we have record? Because that's the sphere of foreign exchange account is under stress all the time. It is already known how much you got to pay for oil and how much you got to pay for food. But you don't know exactly when these entities, I don't know if the central bank knows, but it should, when these entities are exporting foreign exchange, because that is where our problem is. We have lost control of a lot of our assets or national assets. We have sold them to non-nationals or foreigners, and they're maximizing on profits, and they're not exporting profits in Beijing dollars. They're making profits in Beijing dollars, but they're exporting or repatriating their profits in foreign exchange. And
I'll just respond to you. You asked if we know of the trail. Yes, there's a trail, any, and there are always trails of receipts. But particularly, that's not where the problem is, as you are suggesting. The government has a number of bills to pay. If you look at it this way, let's say you are the government, you're making money, and your bill, we have a $9 billion economy right now, but your bill of expenditure is beyond that. So let's say it's 9.5. So you're spending more than you're getting. You are paying 30% is going to debt repayments. Another 30% is going to, statutory borrowers, transfers, those things. Another set is going for oil. Any bills that you have to pay, you spend the money on that. And the money that comes in, the excess you come, if you're not getting any excess, then the foreign exchange goes to pay for the same debt receipts that you have. So you can't say that it is the repatriation of profits that is dragging this foreign exchange challenge that we're having.
But let me ask you a question. When we have to pay transfers, we pay Barbados dollars, we don't pay foreign currency. Mm-hmm. I maintain, despite the fact you might protest, that a lot of our problems is the massive amounts of profits that are being repatriated every year, because the assets that we used to own one time are now owned by foreign entities, and they are repatriating the profits. So
I can't agree with you that as a country we are not making enough revenue, point blank.
That, but I know I can deal with the facts. I know that these profits are leaving Barbados in large quantities, and we don't even seem to be sure how to control it.
So we're not making enough from it then? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. That's
they're not paying taxes? They're doing their share, you know. Massey's, no. they still have to pay the VAT, they have to pay any statutory requirements they have to pay. You're saying beyond that, there's other money that should be coming in.
Well, yes, so because we
taxes
have
are already
problem.
High.
Yeah, because we have a big problem now with, the block and tackle situation where we have Four Seasons blocked. We have Andrews Sugar Factory system blocked.
Mm-hmm.
We have Merrick's. We had the
problem with business facilitation
right.
in this country.
That's right.
Big somebody, problem.
Somebody somewhere, for political or other reasons, is blocking the incoming foreign investment that is.
You think that is deliberate?
Economy. Yeah, I think that's deliberate, yes.
On the
because
part
look
of
at Four Seasons. Look at Four Seasons. Four Seasons have been knocking around for years. And whenever they try to make a move, somebody steps in. Andrews is in court, court injunction. Hyatt had a court injunction. These things hold up the natural progression of development in the country, and people are doing it just for political reasons.
So the policymakers cannot open the gate and allow investment to come in? Isn't that their role?
the investment coming. The
so as to cause activity, economic activity?
But Miss Lisa, if you have things on the table that have not been dealt with, mm-hmm. if your children ain't eating the food on the table, you can bring more food and give them to give them indigestion.
So they don't suffer from starvation. You still have to give them something.
I mean, they have food on the table and they're not eating it. You can't bring more food to them. You gotta get the food off the table first. And I'm saying a lot of these big projects. The Cahill was a project that Barbados could have benefited tremendously by.
And also suffered tremendously by, hence why it wasn't advanced.
Well, what a program today, Lisa. I mean, I was going to say we must do this again, but that's above both of our pay grades. So I can leave that right there. But it was really very nice sharing the program with you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I do feel a bit overwhelmed by not being able to take all the calls and these many WhatsApps. And usually I would read through just to get the sense of what's going on and try to bring it back in some form. Because, you know, people take their time out to write and I think that we should help express what is going on. Everybody can't get to a telephone.
Yeah. So I would say if I'm wrapping up, we really do need to, in small chunks, play our part. We also need, from a national perspective, we need to really do some work in terms of revamping this education system that is negatively impacting a majority of our youth, or not necessarily addressing many of the needs of our youth. As parents, we need to do more. As community workers, we need to do more and just share some more love. Love, 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 love those children who are not yours, who are your children's friends. Love those children in your neighbor. Give somebody a ride. Have a little conversation with them. Just be kind and do more than just for you and your family and the people who are in your sphere. Do more. Do something special for somebody else.
Sphere of influence. As you said, yes. It, you know, there's a saying and it's so true. You know, you may feel you're one person in the world, but you're the world to one person. Yes. And go there and make that influence count. Well, I want to thank you, Lisa. I want to thank you, Dennis. I want to thank those who would have participated in the program. And this is for Lisa and Corey Lane. We've been your hosts, your moderators. Do have a wonderful rest of your Monday.